You know, one of the verses, one of the that we just sang, my life, my praise, everything I own. And let me encourage you today, let's not stop at just singing those words. But let that be the commitment of your heart, that you are giving Jesus Christ absolutely everything. I read in John this morning, talks about how God blesses those that serve him. And it doesn't mean those that have position with him. It means those who have absolutely laid down their lives and given it to God. You know, one of my favorite parts of the Bible is Philippians 2, when it talks about, you know, think of others as better than yourself. You know, and one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about this week that I feel God's bringing to my mind is a friend of mine, which you know, Joseph Enochi, one of the things that he would say repeatedly to me is, sometimes the innocent have to apologize to the guilty for the sake of the kingdom of God. That's hard to do without resentment. It's hard to do without anger when somebody wrongs you to realize, you know what, Lord, I got to make this right somehow. And if it starts with me apologizing to them, even though it should be vice versa, Lord, let me do it because it's not about me. You know, I'm reading a book, and the author lists a bunch of lies that the world lives by today. And he talks about God's truth. And one of the things I'm going to talk about today is living unblemished. Now, you know, I'm really praying about how much to get into studying God's word. And, you know, I know a few months ago I said, hey, I'm really thinking about us reading through the Bible in 2 years. I'm still thinking about that, but I felt like God put a check on that. And this week, I really just wanted to go through Psalm 119 and take a few weeks to do that. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do that. But Psalm 119, 9 through 11, how can a young person stay pure? Now, why is he talking to young people? Young people have passion. Young people have emotions. The older you get, you still have emotions and you still have passions. But can I say something? Age sometimes diminishes our drive. So David is saying, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lord, we come before you this morning. Let us be students of your word. Not just reading it and say we should do that. I read Proverbs 7 today, so I'm good. That's a good thing to do, by the way. But let us understand. You want us to live according to the Bible. That is how we have inner peace. That is how we strengthen our connection with you, Lord. How can I live a sinless life? By obeying your word. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but it has to be what I strive for. Lord, let us hide your word in our hearts. Reading the scriptures isn't a chore. It's not a legalistic obligation. It's a place of life. It's a place of encouragement, Lord. Help us to take hold of that. In your name, amen. You know, Joanne mentioned how the goodness of God at the beginning of this year. I like what I read by Tim Tebow. Don't just be thankful about stuff. Have a heart of gratitude. Be grateful. It is so easy to look at what you don't have. You know, and you know, we all start the new year. We want it to be bigger and better. Well, maybe not bigger. Maybe we want to get smaller and better. I don't know. But you know what? This is the focus. This is the vision of New Covenant Community Church. Living the love of Jesus. To live the love of Jesus, I got to know Jesus. I got to be close to Jesus. I want people that interact with me to know there's something different about him. I want them to see a difference in us because we are committed to living God's way. I understand this doesn't come automatically. It takes effort. It takes effort for us to say no to ourselves. You know, sometimes I talk to different pastors and they laugh. You know, one sermon topic that is not popular in America is self-denial in the church. We like things our way. You know, it seems like every time you open the paper, if anybody reads that anymore, or you go online or you read something in the news, it really seems like peace and unity is impossible. Look at the first two brothers, Cain and Abel. One took the other one out. Look at churches. We have church splits. We have this and that. I mean, I'm not just talking about the world, man. I'm talking about us. We see conflict. We see division. The reason is we struggle with letting go and letting God. God's word is a light for our lives. We have to be committed to it. We have to say, God, I am going to live according to your word. The first thing I want you to do today is I want you to live without sin. I'm doing a Bible study with some guys. We just read Romans 6. I love the book of Romans. It's heady stuff. Romans 6 says, if you have Jesus Christ, you're no longer a slave to sin. So I don't have to live under the bondage of sin. It's by the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. I have that in me. So I have the capability to live that way. Am I going to? No. I will probably sin before I even get home today. But we have to have that as our goal. The word of God is important. There's a lot of lies that our culture tells us today. America is so wonderful. We have progressed so far that we don't need the Bible. It was just a book written by men. That's a very true statement. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. One of the things I said last week, I just really fixated on and studied. I was talking about Melody's uncle who passed away a year ago, Christmas Eve, and he's reading the Bible, has a massive heart attack, boom, he dies. Could you imagine? And I really spent time here reading it. And then you die, and within seconds, you're face to face with the author of life. In the beginning was the Word. This is God's message to us. I want to hear from God. I want to know the will of God. Can I say the will of God is more moral than it is specific? You want to know the will of God? Please, make this your life story. Our culture, our country, is rapidly distancing itself away from Jesus Christ. If you're not in the Word, too much of the world is going to be inside you. I don't want my political opinions to come from the news, to come from sports people, to come from whatever. I want to support the politicians who are most closely related to the Word of God. Verse 1, how can a young person stay pure? Obeying your word. Psalm 119 is a beautiful song. The Psalms are songs. It's beautiful poetry about the importance of God's word. I'm tired of hearing the Bible is passe. Guess what? name me any lifestyle change that's happening in America today, and I can show you places in history where it has happened. Talking about gender, etc., etc. Nothing is new under the sun. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God's truth doesn't change. We don't get new revelation where, well, all of a sudden this is okay because that was written 2,000 years ago. No, sin is sin. You can't redefine things. God knows what he's doing. How can I live a life that pleases God? Obedience. Why do we, and we go home, we have three different home groups that meet. Why do we go through the previous week's sermon so we can apply it to our life? I want people to for example, the scriptures we're reading today, talk to people about them. Hey, how do you apply the Bible to your life? How do you keep yourself pure? What does it mean to you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? But Jesus didn't live in 2024. No, but he saw 2024 before it was even here. Jesus gives us a peace. The biggest thing that changed in my life, I had peace before I was a Christian. I could get high and I would have a lot of peace. But then tomorrow would come. Or I could drown my sorrows in whatever alcohol I was drinking, but then tomorrow would come. Or then I'd be by myself in the middle of the night with reality. Then I met Jesus. Then I found out that God said, you know, you're a sinner. Hmm? Jesus died for your sins. Plain as day, I understood. Either I'm going to die for my sins and go to hell, which is without God forever, or I'm going to say yes and end my life in eternity. I did that. I had such peace. Now, I got to tell you something about the Bible. I don't always like what God tells me to do. I don't always agree with how he tells me to live. I don't always like it how he tells me I should use my money. But he knows more than me. I like what you old timers will remember Jim Durkin. I love what he used to say about tithing 10% to the God. I mean, 10% to the God. I trust God with 90% of my money more than I trust Jim Durkin with 100% of my money. So there's a lot of times as I read the Bible, I mean, I didn't read the Bible growing up, and I came to know the Lord, and my mother-in-law gave me this Bible. I'm reading Matthew, I'm reading Mark. I finally called my wife up and said, is the Bible all the same thing? I mean, I keep hearing these stories over and over again, but the more I read it, the more at peace I had. When I devote myself to God and his word, I have a peace. When I'm struggling in life, I love to just spend a ton of time in the Psalms. I love how honest David was with God, and it brings me such a peace, and I know I'm going to make it. Verse 9 asks us to stay pure. The Holy Spirit does, in fact, dwell in us. We need God. Look at Peter. He thought he could get victory on his own. God, even if these other jamokes deny you, I am your man. I'm going to stand strong within you. And Jesus knew you can't because you're a man. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Boom, happens. What happened to Peter? He quickly found out you can't trust yourself. God will allow anything to happen in my life, as painful as it is, that will bring me to the end of myself so that I will look and trust in him. You know, I was reading something by Pastor Greg Laurie, like what he said. Sometimes when we're younger, we say, well, you know, maybe when I get closer to becoming room temperature, I'll give my life to the Lord. No, life happens, and you drift farther and farther away. Today is the day of your decision. Today is the day. I don't, you know, and maybe you're here and you really don't know about all this. put the gauntlet down. I wrote a couple friends of mine this week, and I wrote them a letter, and I mailed it to them, and I told them how much they meant to me, and I said, you know, because they're not believers, I want you to ask God to show you the truth. And if you're open to it, he's going to do it. Now, you know, I'm not going to say they wrote me back and they did text me and appreciated the letters. I'm not saying they accepted the Lord, but I know when we do that, it happens. The next point I want to make is wander no more. If you're experienced in life like me, you remember that 1976 song by Al Stewart, The Year of the Cat. Anybody here like cats? We'll have a deliverance service at the end of the message. That year, The Year of the Cat by Al Stewart, if you don't know it, don't look it up. Save yourself grief. But it was about change. And it's about new beginning. You want a new beginning in your life? I don't make a lot of New Year's resolutions, except God, I want to be more of who you want me to be. The GPS, and if you like cats, God bless, I'm just fooling on you. I want the Bible to be the GPS for your life. In fact, the Bible is better than GPS. I'm coming home from Maryland, my daughter's house, and next thing I know, I'm going through this tunnel in Baltimore. Now, I shouldn't even be in Baltimore. That's not a part of my way home. And now I'm paying money to go through this stupid tunnel, and I end up in downtown, and I don't want to be there, but I followed the GPS. So I have learned research ahead of time. One of the myths in our country today is moral relativism. What is that? We define morals. We define what is wrong and what is right. This used to be wrong. I'm old enough, I can remember Lucy and Ricky had different beds. Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore had different beds, even though they were married. Why the code of television? Now anything goes, and I'm talking about commercials. Well, we have progressed. So you're telling me God can't define what sin is, but you can. If you believe in heaven, let me ask you this, who goes to heaven? Who goes to heaven? Good people. No, they don't. My Bible tells me there's none are good. No one is good. But in some people's definitions, nice people go to heaven. So you want to define who goes to heaven rather than the guy who created heaven. But that's in the world today. We see it in progressive Christianity. Hell doesn't exist. I wish it didn't. I wish when people didn't know the Lord, if they died, they just became worm food, as a friend of mine says. But I know that's not what the Bible says. But this is a lie that keeps being preached that, you know, and even in some Christian circles, they say, well, Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. But why did the man say, I am the way, the truth, and life? No one comes to the Father except through me. Why does that happen? Because the Bible tells us, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. We all have temptations, and we all understand that we're going to come to this temptation, but we can't give in. You know, it's funny, sometimes I give a message and somebody will come up to me and say, man, you're way too hard. Then somebody else would come up, same message, and go, you kind of light on that, weren't you? If you don't like what I'm talking about today, take it up with the author. I'm just telling you what he says. I have hidden your word in my heart, Psalm 119:11 says, that I might not sin against you. Without exception, David grabbed a hold of God's word. And when he was in sin and got rebuked, he fully repented and made it right. He owned it without excuse and repented. You know, one thing I've learned in my life, the tomorrow diet doesn't work. because I have gained so much weight on that diet. I can eat like I want to today because tomorrow comes, it's snowing. And if you've been in Oswego for long, you know you got to eat in January. And I ain't talking about oranges and carrots, okay? Don't resist what God's asking you to do today. And that's why I say if anybody is up here ever speaking, preaching, whatever, giving a message, and something is pulling at your heart, that's the Lord. Spend time there. You don't have to keep paying, and I'm not telling you just ignore us, but you don't have to keep listening to us. If God is saying, listen to this, pray about it. Spend time with God and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Too often, you know, at the end of the message, God's really moving in people. Yes, I'm going to go do this, but then you got to go home and you got to shovel, you got to cook lunch or something happens, you got to watch the football game. And don't resist. Let's make 2024 the year of the Bible. Purpose to be a student and read. And I know there might be days you don't read the Bible, and I get that. But as I said last week, have your notebook read. What is God speaking to you today? What is the author, saying in this passage? Look at the chapter before and the chapter after. Psalm 119, 12 through 16. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. God is praiseworthy. God is praiseworthy. I like what David writes in verse 12. The more I read God's word, the more I praise him. As we align ourselves with our Creator, and we align ourselves, and I give myself over to his purposes, Lord, you know, everything I own and all my praise, Lord, I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give you my life. Then I'm going to understand the joy. There is no joy that is greater than you know you're doing what God has called you to do. God asks you to share with that person quickly. You share with them. They may not, it may not even move the needle in their life, but you go away saying, oh man, God used me. You know, I love it when God uses me because it brings me to a place of humility. You know, I like what Jesus says in Luke, give me a minute here, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 20, after he sent the disciples out. He says, don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We need to worship God. We need to come to church praising. You know, when I went up north, there's a guy, I didn't know they had a different North Country Bible. This guy told me, yeah, men don't worship. Now, I did not know this. And I do know that people that sit next to me when I sing sometimes wish I agreed with that. So I just said, oh, that's, wow, that's cool. I can't find that. Would you please show me where it says this in the Bible, where you shouldn't praise and worship your Creator? I'm not talking about comfort level. I'm sorry, when you read the Bible, you want to make elders or leaders get nervous, start reading from them from Timothy. This is what an elder is. I don't like reading those verses. Why? Because we see potential. We see God, you know, the word of God is active. Dividing. What's it do? It divides me from my flesh and the Holy Spirit and how I should live. Let's stop justifying actions that do not line up with the word of God. That is why we see so many people fall away. They're not held accountable. The Word of God has to keep us accountable. And I'm going to tell you, everybody in this room should have an accountability partner that can get in your face and love you. Like I said, I meet with Wade Smith almost every week. I meet with Mike Bartholomew 2 or 3 times a month. And yes, we talk about things I would rather not talk about, but it's healthy for me. Because it's going to be brought to the light eventually, my shortcomings. Let's deal with it. David says in verse 14, I have rejoiced in your laws. You know what I like about the man? He didn't pick and choose. I'll take one of these. I'll take honor your father and mother. You don't know my parents. No! We're not given the freedom to pick and choose the Word of God. I mean, you are. You do have that freedom. But if you feel like your spiritual life is a little dry, either God is putting you through a dry season to grow your faith, or there's something that's not lining up where it should. So study the Word of God. Take notes. Pray about it. Think and reflect upon it. And delight in the Lord. David wrote, I delight in your decrees and do not forget your word. Make it enjoyable. Grab a friend and say, hey, let's read this book together. Let's, the book in the Bible, let's go through some things. Let's say, hey, you know what? Let's go through some Psalm 119, you know, section by section. But be consistent. Make it enjoyable rather than a chore. The potential for peace, joy, contentment is unlimited when we give ourselves totally to God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I remember years ago I did a workshop in Ghana, and I spoke on this, and you may not remember, but Bill led worship with that song by Amy Grant. Don't have time to, I'm not going to sing it for you. But you know, God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And yes, I am struggling with this today. Close your eyes, would you? Please. I'm not here today to berate. I'm here to encourage. God isn't saying you have to read so many verses or chapters a day. He's saying, but let the word of God be a part of your life. I'm reading a book by a guy who, he was a scoundrel. Early in his marriage, he would get drunk. He would cheat on his wife with multiple people till she left him and he found out life stinks. He committed himself to the Lord. He said, I was reading the Bible morning, noon, and night, and it just lifted me up out of the miry clay. God's word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. If you want an inner peace and joy, make that commitment to the Lord today. Read your Bibles. If you don't have one, we do. I'd love to give you one. Study the Bible. Enjoy it. Reflect on it. Don't pick and choose. Say, God, help me to obey this. And the Lord knows best. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. I love to read David's words, Father. I like to look at his life, how you used him. Then he fell into sin, slept with another guy's wife, impregnated her, had the guy killed. But yet, Lord, when you confronted him with Nathan the prophet, he repented fully. We do see the consequences of his actions the rest of his life, Lord, but he was a man that you tell us is a man after your own heart. Help that be said of us, that we are a church after your own heart, that we are a church that is living the love of Jesus. Just as we don't get to pick and choose what we believe in the Bible, let us not pick and choose who we interact with. Let us be faithful to minister to those you place in our life, Lord God. Let us be a light, Father. I know it's a corny old saying, but sometimes we're the only Bible people will be reading, Lord. Father, I pray for encouragement for your word. I pray that you would bless these marvelous people, Lord. And as we sing that one line, my life, my praise, everything I own, let that be the commitment of our life. And right now, Lord, I just give time, opportunity, Lord, for anybody to recommit to you. Say, Lord, I'm yours. And if nobody, maybe you haven't done that for the first time, let us say yes to you, Lord, for you tell us you are the way, the truth, and the life. That only when I have that connection with you, when I've asked you to forgive me and to come into my life, then I have your identity, which opens up the eternity of heaven with you, Lord. So I pray that we would make that commitment today and that recommitment, Lord, and I pray that you would bless anybody that needs to pick me up this morning, Father. And if anybody here, if you need prayer at the end, grab one of the elders, come up and see me. I'd love to pray for you. Bless these people in your name. And they all said, blessings and have a great day.